Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all been part of many different groups in our lives. School classes, co-workers on the job, churches, neighborhoods, extended families. Likely, some of those have been really great experiences where there was healthy cooperation and mutual support. But have you ever been part of a social or spiritual movement? A group of people impassioned about what they believe, excited about what they're experiencing, and fully engaged in their mission, which is making a difference in their world? In Jerusalem, in the months following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, there was such a movement. It was rapidly growing in number, synergy, and community impact. It did not have a formal name, nor any bylaws, no elected leaders, no specifically stated mission, but this movement was having a powerful impact on Jerusalem and even the surrounding region. We find the description in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 in the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Who are they? They were more than 3,000 people who had believed that Jesus really is God the Son. They believed the gospel, as proclaimed by Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 36. They had been publicly baptized, affirming their decision to follow Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They also include the 120 who were in the house when the Holy Spirit came in a powerful wind and what appeared to be tongues of fire and gave them the ability to speak the gospel in languages they'd never learned. They include the disciples, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and others of Jesus' closest friends who had followed him. Do you see, my friends, what they prioritized in those days following the sudden and unexpected launch of this movement on the day of Pentecost? They hungered to learn as much as they could about Jesus and his truth and how to live in close relationship with Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit. Who better to teach them than those who had been with Jesus every day for so many months, the disciples, now called apostles? But they also wanted to spend time with each other, normal Jewish people who were experiencing this radical change of life in relationship with Jesus. There was a special sense of community when they were together. Later, that was given a name, koinonia. They loved sharing a meal with each other, as we do today, but they also very much appreciated when the apostles would lead them in celebrating what we today call the Lord's Supper, communion, in remembrance of Jesus' last evening with his friends before he went to the cross. And they loved talking with Jesus, even though he was not physically present with them. They did so in what we call prayer, simply having a faith conversation with God. I call it a faith conversation because prayer is when you are speaking to God, whom you cannot see or touch, but you are fully confident He, God, hears and responds. They love to pray. Do you? Wait, don't rush by that question. Do you love conversation with Jesus, my friends? What is it like for you? How often and where and what do you like talking with Jesus about? How do you sense his answers, his guidance, his instructions to you? My friends, one of the important roles of the Holy Spirit is helping followers of Jesus have conversation with the resurrected Jesus, just like these 3,000 people were experiencing in Jerusalem. Is that exciting? A daily reality for you? Do you notice Luke tells us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the apostles evidently were doing miracles as Jesus had done, proving the power of Jesus was working through them as he had promised in John 14:12. When Dr. Luke says, everyone was filled with awe, I believe Luke meant everyone. Those who were the people fully engaged in this spiritual movement, as well as their friends and family who were not yet convinced, but were watching with great interest. Everyone also included thousands of other Jews who had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost and were now astounded by what they were seeing in these 3,000 changed people. But Everyone also included the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders who had rejected Jesus and condemned him to death. Can you imagine their astonishment as they watched these radically changed people gathering day after day, listening to the apostles teach them and sharing their joy with each other? Everyone also included one other very important group, always present in Jerusalem, Roman soldiers whose job it was to keep peace and always keep a sharp eye out for anything that might appear to be the beginnings of an uprising, a rebellion against Roman authority. What do you suppose the soldiers thought as they watched this spiritual movement growing in momentum? Have you noticed that as people have an encounter, an authentic encounter with Jesus and his life-transforming truths, and as they repent of their sin and turn their lives over to Jesus, the Holy Spirit does remarkable things in changing their attitudes, their worldview, their values, their priorities, even their behavior? That was happening in Jerusalem with this Jesus movement. Luke writes, "Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need." Acts 2:45. So when is the last time you witnessed this in your city, your community, your neighborhood, even your church? This is outrageous, Holy Spirit-motivated, God-honoring generosity. It really can't be explained because it is so counterculture. Probably wherever you live in the world, my friends, you've seen that tender-hearted people respond with handouts of a little money or food given to the poor from time to time. That's not what was happening in Jerusalem with this Jesus movement. Luke is describing outrageous generosity. People were actually selling their possessions so that they had cash to give to the needy, the poor, the disadvantaged among them. Think about that. This was practical, tangible evidence of changed hearts. People were transformed by the Holy Spirit from selfish and greedy to selfless and generous. Luke tells us, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Acts 2:46 and 47. What do you see here, my friends? I see a deep desire for these people to be together and share their new life experience together. I see joy resulting from their being together, learning together, and seeing the evidence of the Holy Spirit radically changing all of them as they grew in their understanding of Jesus and his truths. And I see they loved to praise God, for they understood that God was doing the life-changing work in each of them. Oh, and do you see one more summary statement from Luke? It's in verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord is, of course, Jesus. Jesus was every day saving from their sins more and more people who were being attracted to Jesus by what they saw in the people engaged in this spiritual movement. That's called contagious Christianity. May I ask, are you fully engaged in such a movement in your city? Are there Christians who are experiencing this where you live? Are there changed lives drawing the attention of people who are fascinated and are attracted to Jesus? Is Jesus daily saving people in your city, adding them to his global spiritual movement? And finally, one really important question. What are you personally experiencing in these post-Easter days in your relationship with Jesus? Is there an Acts 2, 42-47 spiritual movement in your city? And are you an energetic part of it? What does it look like? How is it impacting your city? I found a brief glimpse of a Jesus celebration in South America last year, celebrating the resurrected Jesus. I wonder if celebration worship was happening like this in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. Enjoy the worship, my friends, even if you don't speak Spanish.